Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we are live at Flowery Branch. It's been an interesting and fun day all at the same time as we talked to Michael Penix Jr. Less than 40 minutes ago. And we are going to talk to our general manager in about an hour from now. So stay tuned for that. We'll let you hear more of what Michael Penix had to say about his experience, including his role on the team and Kirk Cousins. Coming up here as part of the Falcon Report. Mike, as we kind of reset things, and we'll open up the phone lines for you guys as well at 404-726-0929, as we'll take plenty of your phone calls. We've been trying to do more of that today simply because we want to know how you feel. And for a lot of Falcon fans, there's frustration. There are some Falcon fans who say, all right, listen, I don't like it, but you know what? I'm going to accept it, and I hope they have a plan. And then there are other people who say, this is completely idiotic.
Yeah, I mean, I understand if you've identified Michael Penix Jr. as a guy that you feel is such a, you know, we use that phrase, transformational, generational talent. But I just felt like, yes, if we have first established our winning culture under Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris. Terry Fontenot has not established a winning culture here as a general manager. We have not made the playoffs. You know, again, that's three of the 6 years under his stewardship. And, you know, we now have the first team since, I guess, the Lions in the 2000s to go skill in the NFL draft. Look, we've talked about the valuations, and do you feel okay? Nobody was coming up, and I wanted to trade back. I couldn't get a trade partner the value, so we take the best in their mind. See, Penix Jr., that's where he's not the best athlete. Based on everyone's breakdowns at 8. That's where if you say you're taking the best athlete.
Best player.
Is he the best player?
Yeah, I don't know if he was the best overall player.
And that's not a knock, guys. There's impact edge rushers. There's impact corners. There's impact tackles. More wide receivers that you saw go last night at that spot. It's just to me, it was hard to wrap your head around considering we all were under the impression there were bigger needs for this team. You know, Arch brought up the fact, like, if Roma Dunze is there, he's a kind of a carbon copy of Drake London. There's really no point.
Yeah.
You want a speed element. You know, if you want to trade back into the first round, you know, and go get Xavier Worthy, that's different. Okay, that makes sense for your L.A. Rams-style offense. But we were under the impression, look, they got to go defense. They got to address it or trade down and address it. But nothing against Penix Jr. We've already covered that. To me, why do you pay all that money to Kirk Cousins? If you had an inkling, Carl, at the combine that Michael Penix Jr. was your guy, and then later in subsequent workouts, you know, why don't you just go hire a Jacoby Brissett as a stopgap guy and draft him? Isn't this an overcorrection? We've gone 2 years in the wilderness in Mariota and Ridder, and now we've got the ultimate redundancy at quarterback at the expense of other needs.
It's not overcorrection if you've been where we've been. And
I will ask you guys, because the question is, we can never have enough. We talk about DBs, can never have enough. We need wideouts, we can never have enough. Oh, we need more defensive tackles. So when it comes to quarterback, I can't feel that way because I don't like the pick or thought that this might be a reach for the Falcons. We have been in quarterback purgatory, Mike. We have been in no man's land, and I think the owner, and I want to get into this, totally supported this, was behind it, and more importantly, signed off on it, okay?
He has to. You said this earlier. He has to.
You don't do this, guys. And as much as respect that I have for Terry Fontenot, and I love Ra, they're not pulling this off by themselves. So for Arthur Blank to say, I like this and let's do it, please understand that this was a part of this, okay? And, Mike, for Arthur Blank, I want you to just take a step back for a second. Forget about our fandom and this team and how we feel and us being there on Sundays and, hell, we need to win more games. You know what Arthur Blank's saying? I don't want to be in this position again. I do not want to be in this position again. We just went through a period, and he was spoiled because he had Mac for 15 years where he knew what he was getting. We just went through a damn five-year period here where we didn't know what we were doing at quarterback, and we got a guy that everybody likes, and we love the idea and the makeup of this kid. Let's go do this. He signed off on this. So if you want to be mad at everybody in the building here today, also be mad at the owner, because you don't do this unless Arthur Blank says yes.
I just think there's a way to split the baby on this one. You want to go get a quarterback you feel you can develop? Yeah, go do that. But, I mean, when a team doesn't have a true starting corner opposite A.J. Terrell, when you don't have edge rush, we haven't had edge rush for forever. We have to tell you guys, you're Falcon fans. I mean, if you can't find a way to trade down, take an offensive tackle and upgrade from McGarry, that still makes more sense than giving a guy $100 million guaranteed only to go turn around and get a quarterback who, by the way, is going to sit, if things go well, for 2 years, maybe three, and then you'll have 1 year to evaluate him and then pick up his option. That's something else nobody's talking about. You know, look.
What if it don't work out that way?
Well, if you're this worried about Kirk Cousins' health and you picked the wrong guy, you should have outbid the Buccaneers for Baker Mayfield.
Well, I don't know if they're worried about his health, but it's just
fans who don't like Kirk Cousins and never like the pick. That's all they're talking about. Like,
okay.
This guy's going to be Mr. Glass, and you have to have an insurance policy.
I don't think they're worried about his health. I'm just saying I don't know if it works out that way as everybody's planning. Like, oh, well, there's this amount of time on his contract. Hell, Matt Ryan had time on his contract. It didn't work that way.
But there's a reason why nobody us here in Atlanta, everybody around the country said, what are the Falcons doing? It doesn't, when you distill it down to the core, it doesn't make sense. You've got a quarterback. You've invested in the quarterback. Yes, he's older. He's a veteran. You wouldn't get the best free agent quarterback. If you want to go draft one in the third round, hell, if you want to take somebody in the second round. But the idea that you're going to have a quarterback sit, making first-round money, having no impact on the team, when, call me crazy, I was under the impression we're going back in the playoffs. We've been so bad, we can't win the worst division in football, Carl. I mean, I thought we're trying to get the best team on the field by getting the most impactful players in this draft.
Well, maybe
this is not helping you immediately. This isn't helping you next year either.
Maybe we still are going to be able to win this division. The draft is not over.
No, and there's more to it.
And there's more to it. The reaction that you're giving is valid when it comes to this one pick. But this one pick doesn't make up your draft. If we were done today and this was it and we weren't adding anything else and we weren't going to do anything else, then I'd be a little bit more adamant about it. But that's not the case. We have more picks. I want to see what Terry does and this organization tonight. We've got three picks, second, two-thirds. Do they try to acquire some additional picks? We get into Saturday. Let me see how this all shakes out, because there are still impactful players that could do exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
But as far as sitting and helping us this year, Mike, I think that the idea and the thought process is, look, we've seen other teams do it, and we know it can work, and I hope it does for our sake. But I think they are willing to take that chance.
Look, we were talking about Latu. He goes 15th. So that's seven spots behind where the Falcons picked. I don't care what the other team's needs were or the run of offensive players. I'm talking about what this team needs.
And we talked to Leata later.
Thank you, D-Led. Thanks, Mike and Carl at the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch. That's where we are. But, I mean, to me, yes, it's the. I said this at the start of the show. It's the first chapter in what will be the book of this 2024 draft. It will not define it. If we could get some edge rush that has impact, I gave you the example of the Rams finding quality players in the third round. I'd like to think Raheem Morris was involved in that process. He's here now. But it was tough to watch guys that you know as Falcon fans, like Quinyon Mitchell.
Well, you watch
all these edge rushers, and you watch all these the corners. The elite corners are gone.
Yeah, but
the next level of corners is what we're going to be starting opposite A.J. Terrell this year.
But Mike, just like –
unless Clark Phillips beats them out.
Just like with these quarterbacks, though. Calm down. Just like with these quarterbacks. All these guys are not going to hit. All these guys are not going to hit, okay?
Correct.
So when we talk about seeing guys come off the board – that's the mock drafts and everybody talking. Everybody was doing these drafts, and we say, oh, that's the guy, because everybody was being told that's the guy. All these guys being taken off the board doesn't mean that they're all going to be a lock. We're not talking about who's going to be an all-pro. That is yet to play out. I understand the frustration because we were familiar with the names and where they came from, and therefore you thought there was a – this is easy. I'm going to connect these two. This is what I told you guys about Dallas Turner. Falcons, eight Falcons, edge. It didn't play out that way. He wasn't even the first defensive player taken off the board. So slow down. None of these guys are locks, but I understand. You saw them come off the board, and you went, wait a minute, that was a guy I wanted.
Well, here's the thing. Did you refuse to trade down because you were locked in Michael Penix? That's what I want to find out from the general manager next hour. Because here's the thing. If you have such a – if you're so hot and bothered for a succession plan, then why the hell didn't you draft Justin Fields in 2021? You could have had Matt Ryan. He could have learned under Matt Ryan for 2 years. And, no, you went with Pitts. So I'm trying to find the logic here. Because to do this now, when we haven't achieved anything, and you're concerned, you're telling me that we're going to be so good because we still have glaring needs on the defense. We've already talked about what we're going to do for Jake and the offensive line. You're telling me we're so good that we'll never be near this pick again in the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, won't be.
That's a hell of a lot of clairvoyance for a general manager.
Won't be top eight. All right, so you hear Mike. You hear how he's reacting. We've heard from you guys today, and a lot of you will react here as we open up the phone lines at 520 to hear what you have to say. 404-726-0929. You want to get in? Go ahead. Big O will set you up. Big O, while we're talking about the reaction, let's take you down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night where Mike Conte and Dave Archer and Wes Durham were there when this pick went down.
You are now speechless.
Yeah, we're speechless.
Rarely am I and folks here at the stadium, you are listening to us on the PA system, you are about to be absolutely stunned with what the Falcons are about to do. If that doesn't build suspense for those of you listening on the radio, I don't know what will.
Yep.
I remember when we found out 2 years ago, we were down on the other end of the stadium, and we found out about Drake London, and we were very surprised at that.
Yeah.
This is surprise times 10.
Yeah, this one's surprising. I will say though that the staff did spend a good bit of time with this particular player.
They did. That is true.
Yep. They spent a lot of time with this player.
That is absolutely true, and I think there will be a subset of people listening to us who will be very, very excited about the potential of this pick and where it could potentially go.
Well, and this follows my rating of the position too. I there was a lot of conversation about a particular player where people are going to try to trade up to get him, and I didn't like him as much as this player that is going to be an Atlanta Falcon.
And then, of course, they got the news that had been dropped earlier. I think it was Ian Rappaport, whoever had it first, that it was going to be Michael Penix at 8, Michael Penix Jr.
So there, because the news hadn't hit the TV yet.
Right.
So they're talking about it. That reaction, I believe, was the reaction of most people around Atlanta and certainly Falcon fans around the country. That reaction was, what? I had people hit me up. My best friend hit me up and he goes, tell me they just didn't do that. Yeah, they did. Because he's even like, I can't believe that just happened. I understand that and I get it. But we got to take a step back and see where this goes. Now, while we're talking about Michael Penix, let's hear from him, Mike, because he talked about overcoming adversity. Our full conversation is online at Odyssey.com. You can go check it out. But here's what he said today about overcoming adversity.
I've been through a lot, you know, to get into this spot right now, you know, being on this show. You know, I feel like, you know, it took a lot to get here, you know, but I'm super blessed for it. I wouldn't change it for anything. You know, I feel like everything I've been through, you know, helped shape me into the person, the player I am today, you know. So, and it was crazy, you know, like all the injuries, it was tough to go through, you know, but I just continue to keep my faith and, you know, leaned on my family and all the ones that loved and supported me throughout that process.
Look, we said this earlier for guys who missed the conversation. We certainly support the young man, his journey, the fact that at some point with the injuries it looked like he might not ever get to the NFL, let alone be a top 10 pick. And we just had him in studio, and he's a cool dude, and you're going to love him. And if you don't like Cousins, you're really going to love him. But it doesn't diminish the point, as we said earlier, that you are, you know, you're going in a direction which, in addition to not addressing needs, whether the value was there or you didn't perceive them being worth selecting, you've also created a quarterback controversy. That's inevitable. In a town that, you know, there's always going to be this conversation about the kind of quarterback some portion of the fan base. We debated this when Cousins got signed. Everybody around the country says, well, the Falcons got the best free agent. We got people in town going, I don't like it. And so, guys, if you don't like Cousins, you like this pick. But as soon as we see Cousins struggle in a preseason game or a regular season game, or Michael Penix throws one of his 60-yard bombs and drops his dime, which we know he can do, we're going to have us a quarterback controversy. I'm looking forward to asking Terry Fontenot about, does he anticipate that coming down the pike?
Terry is coming up, guys. Strong arm story of the day is you. How are you feeling? 404-726-0929. Your Falcon reaction's coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
AIM.
This hour brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're live at the Ticketmaster Studios up here at Flowery Branch. Taking your phone calls, guys. All right. Ladies, gentlemen, everybody, how are you feeling about what the Falcons did in the first round with Michael Penix going 8th overall? Mike has made a valid case as to why I don't get this. And I'm just saying, for me, I want to see what this draft looks like. Monday, I may be in here on fire, okay? I don't know. They may not do anything tonight that's going to upset me even more so, and I may not like this draft at all. But there's a good chance that they address the corner and the edge and things that we want, and maybe I'm not looking at this as I am right now. But nevertheless, your reaction to Michael Penix at 8.
By the way, really impressive young man, as we said. We don't hate the player. We just don't. I'm just confused about the decision-making process from the organization. Which, again, if you guys can't figure that, I'm not going to argue about it. And if all works out, Cousins has a level of success, and we thought ultimately he was brought here to win a Super Bowl.
Sure.
And whether he gets that through or not, you know, if they decide to cut bait on him after 2 years, because as Carl and I mentioned, $180 million is the sticker shock we talked about a few months ago, but it's really $90 million the first two, $10 million guaranteed in year three.
Yeah. And then you can move on
you
after
can
2 years.
Right. And again,
if you wanted to.
Right. It's just when you do it, we went from having no quarterbacks to now having a quarterback conundrum in the minds of some.
Rob, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Was this a reach? Did you like the pick? Where are you at, Rob? Hey, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show, man. Look, we always love it when you open up the lines for us. We hope you continue to do that more into the future. On this, I don't think that this was as much a strategic pick as a panic pick. I feel in my gut, man, that our high-priced quarterback, Cousins, won't go on week one and two. I think something's going to have – he has a relapse with this injury. That's the only explanation that you can have with these two smart guys in the front office making this type of pick. I think it's a panic pick. Tell me what you guys think about that. I'll get off the line. Thank you.
I don't think it's – I mean, we're going to talk to Terry coming up. Terry Fontenot is going to talk. It's not a panic pick. They identified this guy as a transformative player that they said they couldn't let slip. They also feel they're going to be maintaining a level of performance that's going to preclude them, Carl, from having this chance again. So they're thinking if it's checkers, they're playing multi-level chess in their minds.
Yeah. And Rob – I don't,
but it's not a panic. A panic is, you know, you take a you make a bad trade down, or you take someone like an offensive tackle. Maybe you didn't expect. This was a calculated move.
Yes, calculated is the correct phrase. And I also think you are assuming that this team and this organization was not prepared for last night. That's not the case. Not only were they prepared, they had multiple guys that they're looking at, and as the draft board changes, you say, our guy's going to be there, and then you do it. But panic is the wrong word. And by the way, the whole Cousins being injured and all of that, guys, there's nothing out there that is available that says Cousins is not recovering from this injury. So I don't want anybody jumping to conclusions about him and his recovery time. From everything we've heard, he's on schedule. Matter of fact, he's ahead of schedule. So I think that's an unfair assessment as well. This simply comes down to, Rob, they like the player. As I said to so many people last night, they love Michael Penix. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not panicking. What's up, Chris?
Mike talked about quarterback controversy early in the show. Yeah, how about this scenario? Exactly what that caller just said. Penix goes in there in week one and week two, throws for 350 and three touchdowns a game. Then you have a quarterback controversy.
Well, if that was to happen, first, I'd welcome it. That means we're winning.
Okay? So, I presume that means there's a W.
Yes, yeah, I'm hoping we're winning. Yeah. But secondly, yes, at that point you would. Right now there is none because Kurt is the guy, and he deserves to be with the money that he's getting. Xavier, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Xavier, where you at, man? How you feeling about this? You still upset?
I can't say I was never upset. I would say I am more confused than upset.
Okay.
I was when I seen the pick, it was kind of on board for what Terry already's been doing. This has always been my issue with Terry. He drafts as if he's playing fantasy football.
Mm.
I feel like we have a good couple of players on here that really great players, but based off where the team was at the time of the draft, it shouldn't be here. Not to sound harsh. Like, Michael Penix, I believe, is going to be a great player, but he probably shouldn't be here. Same goes for Kyle Pitts and Bijan. Where we were as a team, this isn't team building. This is just grabbing the best skill position you think is great and who could put up numbers. But as you can see by our record, that's not working.
You know, it's a good point. Carl and I were bringing this up earlier because the perception was, and, you know, that collaboration phrase gets thrown around, that Arthur Smith was maybe dictating the tempo on the draft with Pitts and then with Drake London. And, like, you did need a wide receiver. We don't debate that. It just was where you were going to pick him that year. But then Bijan, they looked at Bijan the way they looked at Michael Penix Jr., that Bijan was a transformative guy. Even though he had a 1,000-yard rusher in Algier, this guy is a game changer. So they went there. This one, though, like I said, there were also reports Steve Wyche had it. We tried to get back into the first round to get Laiatu Latu, and we couldn't consummate a trade. And then I would not even feel, Carl, a certain way about that eighth pick.
No.
I would feel completely different because we addressed a big need. If you can't address edge rush and you can't find a starting corner, we've only got $5 million to try to cobble something together, bringing Calais Campbell back or trying to get Bud Dupree to come back, things like that. So you really do have to hit on these picks today and then on the weekend.
Well, you got to do that. And then this is something, again, for another day. But also, Mike, the guys you have need to take a jump. The guys you have that you've already spent draft capital on need to make a jump. Appreciate the phone call. Let's talk to, is it Keaton? Keaton is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So I want to move through a few quick points and then ask y'all a favor and then ask the fan base a favor. So first of all, congratulations to y'all, number one station. Most certainly deserved. You always have the hottest interviews, always the best source for news, a sneak peeks at what the Falcons may or may not be doing. Always love listening to y'all while I'm working my 12 and 15 hour shifts. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, man.
I feel like people need to, the fan base needs to pump the brakes just a tad. People, we want that Micah Parsons, Dallas Turner type of guy. Well, Micah Parsons was found in what round?
He was the 11th overall pick, Micah Parsons.
Yeah. Oh, he was. Was he?
Yes.
I'm thinking of somebody else. My bad.
Yeah.
Well, we have an example in Calais Campbell. I mean, he was a second round guy.
I get what you're saying. I mean, you can get edge rush, and hopefully we're going to get edges. The Rams gave you an example. They got 17 and a half sacks in the third round last year. They found two big studs. Hopefully we're going to do likewise. But I was just talking to Chris Carl during the commercial break. The more that I look at the names and the names that I really like, I think those elite edge rushers, we may have to move up.
To get one?
When we say elite, you said it. Maybe some scouts feel there's no elite edge rushers in this draft, but the best of the remaining players, you know, it sounds a lot like Ebikadie was a couple years ago. It's not the elite guy.
Yeah, and Keaton, your point about pumping the brakes, I understand where you're coming from. You're basically saying, let me see how this looks by the end of the weekend or Monday, and we're talking about this. I get that. I understand. The comparisons, there are tons of them, okay? The Ravens had a kid named Medibuke who now is all-pro material. They just paid him a lot of money, third-round pick. He's a beast inside tackle. You've got numerous examples of guys in the league, okay, that we could go down team for team and say, hey, there's a third or fourth or fifth. These are not throwaway picks by no stretch of the imagination. But you were not or may not have been enamored by the first pick for our team last night, and that's why we're talking about this. Let's talk to, is it Eva Maria? Ave Maria. Ave Maria. Hello.
Back in church.
Hey, Maria.
How are you?
Hey, man. I am loving it. And just like Aaron Rodgers said, relax, I'm saying, ATL, calm the F down. All we need to do is expand our mentality. We need to get a winning mentality. You know, as Falcons, you're talking to a 20-year season ticket holder. We're used to driving down the field, get to the red zone, settle for a field goal. Yeah. Drive down the field, get to the red zone, settle for a field goal.
Kick it.
We got that settling mentality. But now we have been blessed with a general manager and a coach and the owner who say, no more, time out for settling. We are going to win now. And if we win now, no. When we win now with our Mr. $100 million man, then we also need to prepare for 2 to 3 years down the road. Stop settling, ATL. Get on board. And that's all I got to say about that.
Hey, appreciate the positivity.
Thank you.
Hope it works out. I just, you know, some would say the perception for some
really
of us.
That sounded really positive. Yeah, no, I mean, that sounded really like you were like, oh, I hope it works out.
Yeah, I mean.
Are you not buying that?
Well, I mean.
Talk to me.
If you're going to spend money on a quarterback, and look, no one has any illusions about Kirk Cousins being here 5 years. He's going to be here 2 or 3. You know, it's a short-term fix. I was under the impression you would like to get a Super Bowl where Arthur Blank is still on this earth. And the idea was, let's do it in the next 3 years by loading up with the most impactful players. Adding a player who, barring injury, is not going to be on the field for 2 years does not help me go all in to win with Kirk Cousins. Now, we will, if Kirk Cousins is going to have this injury, which all the guys who didn't like Kirk Cousins getting selected is going to happen, then we've got our quarterback, which then says we picked up the wrong guy in free agency in the first place. So I just don't understand the logic behind dedicating all those resources, all that cap space. If you like Michael Penix Jr. that much, grab a Gardner Minshew or a Jacoby Brissett, put that money into somebody like Jadeveon Clowney, who had resurgence last year, and beef up the edge rush, and go make your quarterback of the future Michael Penix Jr. Let's start him this year.
Pete, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pete, you upset? Where you at? Hey, man.
Hey, man. All right, listen, does this put Terry Fino back on the hot seat? Three 7-10 seasons. We're missing the playoffs. I'm missing a winning attitude. You know, I want to be positive.
Yeah.
I want to be positive, but we got a $100 million man coming in here off of a torn Achilles. We got a possibly a generational talent sitting. I mean, what's it say about Terry? Was Kurt, because I don't know if you guys saw the video, but I saw the video of him having that conversation where it looked like he was explaining to Arthur, hey, man, this is what the plan is. And
yeah.
I'm asking you.
All right, Pete, so let's talk about that conversation. And Terry's going to join us here at 6 o'clock. And I know, again, we live in a day and age where you see a viral video.
Right.
There are no words spoken in that video. You just see him speaking with his hands.
What's the context?
Correct. And the immediate reaction is, oh, crap, he's trying to explain to Arthur what he just did. And I will just simply say that's idiotic. Arthur knew going in. Arthur knew before everybody knew.
Yeah.
So he is explaining at that point, from my understanding, Pete, okay, this is what I'm hearing, we're trying to get back into the first round to go get this edge rusher. And he's explaining to Arthur, here we're at, this is what the deals that are on the table. That's allegedly what they're talking about in that video. If you're asking me whether or not he's on the hot seat, the answer is no. You don't get on the hot seat for one pick in the first round that, as Mike said, you know, whether people like it or not, if this was the team's plan. Now, how this plays out, Pete, down the road, that's a different conversation. Maybe Mike and I are having that conversation in a year, 8 months, 6 months.
Right.
I do not know. But right now, you're not going to get your GM on the hot seat when the owner had to okay this pick and say, are we all in? Everybody agrees. Yes, we are. Let's go get the guy because we love him. That's where this is, Pete. So, no, he's not on the hot seat, whether you like the pick or not. All right, Cheryl, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you for holding patiently. It's Dukes and Bell. Cheryl, what are you thinking about this?
Hey, Carl. Hey, Mike. I appreciate the you guys taking my call. For me, I woke up thinking like you, Carl. Let's let Terry cook and see how the rest of this thing plays out. Because whether the plan was to win now or just to win more, we're still on the come up. From the very start, when we signed Kirk Cousins, we were at most hopeful that we would make the playoffs, just winning the NFC South.
Yeah.
Not actually getting to the Super Bowl, not actually, you know, doing anything extraordinary, just winning more. And apparently, you know, ownership considers the $100 million guaranteed worth the risk.
worth the risk. Yeah, it is. And listen, the money is a lot. Only because that, but I will say this, a lot less than what other quarterbacks are getting. But I will also say this. I think, too, Mike, part of this decision, and maybe Terry says this, the fact that you know you may or may not lose a pick next year, okay? They can't comment because it's ongoing investigation, blah, blah, blah. But if that's the case, it's going to make it tougher for you to move and try to make this happen next year. And then the other part is the cap continues to go up. Maybe Arthur Blank was like, look, we'll deal with this when we deal with it, and we're just going to pay the money.
Right. I just don't understand why you spend that. Like, it's not chicken feed. It's the seventh highest paid quarterback. It's not the highest paid. But you made a commitment to a quarterback to just draft another quarterback when you've got glaring needs, which still may be addressed. But that's why there's the reaction here in Atlanta among some of our audience and around the country. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of folks.
All right, we've got to talk some Braves because there is a big series in town. I know we've talked a lot about the draft, and rightfully so, and we're going to get back to it. But our buddy Grant McCauley is going to stop by. Guardians in town to take on the Braves, and it is a big one. We'll break it down next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
So we get a really interesting series with the Guardians that starts tonight as our Braves are at home at Truist Park. It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch. More on the NFL draft, round two. We'll give you some projections tonight. We'll also get a chance to talk to Terry Fontenot coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. What do you think about this matchup, Grant? I mean, people are saying, okay, could this be a preview to down the road with the Guardians coming to town to take on the Braves?
I mean, it'll be interesting if it is, and it would say a lot about what the Guardians have accomplished this year. I mean, that division, both the Centrals, the AL and the NL, are kind of open for business. There's no one that you look at and you're like, well, that's the clear favorite. They're going to run away with this thing. And the Guardians have done exactly what they should do on the schedule that they've had thus far, which is win a bunch of series that were right out there for the taking. So I think it's a good start for them. As you get into that grind of that 162 and you do start facing some of the other playoff hopefuls, I mean, this is a big test for Cleveland, if we're being honest, an opportunity for Atlanta to keep doing the exact same thing I just said, which is winning series that you feel like are there for the taking. And we'll kind of see how these teams match up. But I think Cleveland, they have some timely hitting going on, obviously, which is huge. The pitching has been, I think, a carrying factor for them. And again, they play in a division where nobody's going to be out of it, I don't think, anytime soon, because if you look at it, you know, it's starkly different than it was a couple of years ago because you've got the Guardians there. They've been a contender pretty much annually, but the Royals, the Tigers, I mean, what is this going to look like as we get into the summer? That's kind of what I'm wondering, more so than will we see these two teams as the last two standing at the end of October.
Yeah, man, our boy Grant McCauley with us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Guys, we're live at Falcons headquarters. The general manager coming up at 6 o'clock, Terry Fontenot. I see that Money Harris in the seventh spot. RC has been money as well. So, and Adam Duvall. I like the bottom of this lineup.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. And when you get Ozzie Albies back off the injured list, which let's not bury the lead, that's a big comeback for the Braves, or just a big return for them.
Right.
It allows them to continue to lengthen this lineup and have guys like Michael Harris, who could be hitting second or leadoff or third for just about any team in baseball. I know I've said that a lot, but it's still true. Having him lower in the order, Adam Duvall back in there, Orlando Arcia very quietly, and I may have mentioned this a couple of days ago, but if not, I'll mention it again here. Who had Marcell Ozuna and Orlando Arcia as the two guys who were going to be looked at as the most productive Braves hitters over the first month of the season, according to Fangraphs, because they are, according to wins above replacement, which, you know, that can also change over the course of the season that's ahead of us. But great start for him, and just continues, I think, to find his way into big moments for this club. And he's looked great in the field, too. So just a lot of good things are happening at the bottom of the order as you wait for the Rileys, the Olsons, the Acunas to maybe have that big hot streak that gets them back and going and back to the numbers we're expecting from all three of those guys.
What do you think about tonight's matchup? Chris Sale, 2-1, 4.38 ERA. Logan Allen going for Cleveland tonight.
You know, I feel like Chris Sale has pitched much better than that ERA. I know that the one start that kind of jumped up on him was the seven-inning outing against the Marlins down in Miami, where I felt like he could have been out of the inning. A couple of calls didn't go his way, and the Marlins, credit them, they got extra life, and they cashed in some runs on Chris. But otherwise, I think that he's looked extremely good, extremely comfortable. He's coming off back-to-back seven-inning outings. So if there was any kind of, you know, concern that, oh, is Sale only going to be a five-inning pitcher this year? In the early going, that really hasn't been the case. So I think just continuing to do what he has done thus far will give the Braves that chance to win another baseball game. And, you know, with Logan Allen, kind of the same thing is true. He's unbeaten this season, but the ERA a little bit high, but Cleveland has bailed him out a few times offensively speaking. So we'll see what the Guardians are able to do with Chris Sale, who is a pitcher they should know very well from all his time in the American League.
It's our man Grant McCauley, guys, is the Braves and the Tribe. Can you still say that? No, you can't. They're the Guardians.
No, you
join
can't.
Join us. Join the old school crow. You can't say the Bucks. Take it out anyway. It is our man G Money. What do you think has been? Is there any area? I think Kelnick is sorry. Maybe I know Chris, our producer, was upset about Kelnick. I think he's been pretty solid. The platoon with him and Duvall is working. Is there any area of concern right now for you in this lineup?
No, not really. I mean, I think the one area of concern, and this may sound just like a broken record from spring training, is can this club stay healthy? And they've already had to deal with those tests. I mean, opening day, losing Sean Murphy, still not swinging a bat yet, but hopefully he'll be back at some point. I would imagine in the early first couple of weeks of May, if we're being kind of just optimistic at this point, because they're not going to rush an oblique injury, and I think we knew that from the get-go. Losing Strider for the year, the Ozzie Albies thing, seems like the Braves and Ozzie kind of dodged a bullet here, no pun intended, and he's back in the lineup after a minimum stay on the injured list. But that, to me, is the real concern for this club, because if they do, you know, you look at some of the things that aren't clicking right now with Olsen and Riley in particular, not really, you know, from the power production standpoint, delivering yet. Ronald Acuna's home runs aren't there, but a lot of other things he's doing are great and are helping the Braves win. But once those guys do get going, and they will, it always happens. It's something that I think you've come to expect from guys that makes them who they are. The rest of this lineup has been very productive. The bullpen has looked good, and the starting rotation, despite losing Strider, with Bryce Elder coming back, looking good in his season debut, that gives you some encouraging feelings, I think, about what the five spot will look like moving forward. And Max Fried looked a lot like Max Fried his last time out, and then some against the Marlins. Every different facet of this club, you feel like they've got the personnel to do it. But can they keep that personnel together? Can they keep them on the field? That, to me, is the big question for the Braves.
Okay, so Matt Olson hasn't hit a home run since April 7th. How concerning is that?
I don't know that it's overly concerning, because it's kind of a byproduct of the slump that he's been in for the last 10 or so days, 10, 12 days. But with Matt last year, and even obviously in 2022, he had an even longer cold spell. And he's able to, I think, by just continuing to work through it, you know, get back to being who he is and go on that power run where it's just a bunch of homers are going to pile up in basically no time. And I think last year he showed us when he gets going, those home runs may not stop flying, you know, to the end of the season. So is he going to hit 54 home runs again? I think the answer to that question was always going to be probably not.
Yeah.
But he is going to get his home runs, and he's going to get it all sorted out. As long as he can cut down on some of the strikeouts, we saw the 4 punch-out game earlier this week. There haven't been a ton of those, but he just needs to figure out what that one little thing is that's going to get him to start driving the ball again. And he continues to work the problem. That's one thing about Matt. And a lot of these guys, I think, is they like the opportunity to be in there every day to figure it out, because you're not going to figure it out not playing.
Falcons general manager, guys, Terry Fontenot is coming up next segment with us here live at Falcons headquarters. One more other thing. I know we talked about this last week with you. Let's release the hounds on the base paths.
Release
I know that Ronald's got 11 stolen bases. Michael Harris has got 5. Couldn't Michael be up there too?
I think he could, yeah. And it really a lot of it just may have to do with what the situations are when he's on base. Are there people on in front of him, that kind of thing. But I said in spring training, and I thoroughly believe it, I mean, this is a guy that has 30-30 potential. Does that happen this year? Does it happen sometime in the future? I don't know. But those 30 stolen bases are easily attainable for him. And clearly we know what Ronald's capable of. And, you know, Ozzie's kind of sneaky, can grab 15, 20 bags, you know, and throw that in with everything else that the team is doing. Just opportunistic running, I think, could be helpful for this club. But regardless, they're still, runs per game-wise, scoring more than any other team in baseball. So adding that dimension to it, I enjoy it. I'm glad it's a bigger part of baseball again. And I'd love to see Michael Harris II and Ronald Acuna Jr. with a few more of those double steals over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun. Guardians are good. We're good. Should be action-packed, to say the least. Grant, and again, tell the people when you're on Sunday.
Yep, I'll be on Sunday from 5 to 7 from the Diamond right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm going to sit down with Guardians manager Stephen Vogt, former Brave from the 2021 World Series Club, longtime friend of mine. I'm also going to have Craig Mish on to talk about what exactly is going on or what's just not going right for the Miami Marlins because they have looked really bad this year. We're going to try to get to the bottom of that and if there's any hope whatsoever for that team in 2023. That's from the Diamond, 5 to 7 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Sunday.
Good stuff. Grant McCauley, have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right. A lot of guys hitting. Money Harris is hitting. Ozuna's hitting.
Right.
Right? Olsa's not hitting. One for 28.
We brought it up. And the power numbers, again, the error the other day, that's not – I mean, that was a ridiculous, like, that hop. I hit a rock or something, man. I don't know what was going on there. I mean, I think shot sideways on him. But, yeah, the one thing you want expect for him is he's going to have a little bit of this over the course of the year. Better now than in September.
No, I agree. I totally agree. All right, we're coming back. Our general manager, you want to know how he feels about your negative fan sentiment towards him?
Why are you looking at me?
Stay right there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.